jungle of death. Women, half beast, she demons.
Podcasting on all frequencies from the jungle of death, you're listening to Babes in the Woods.
Welcome, internet users, to Babes in the Woods. This is our inaugural edition. Just to introduce you today, we have Nyssa. And we have Lindsay. Say hello, ladies.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hi.
What's going on, internet?
Just say hello.
How you doing?
For our first podcast, we are actually going to be discussing, as we like to do, something of an intersection of nerd and ladydom in the form of vampires. And this will not be quite the discussion I'm sure that you're thinking of.
Let's hope not.
Lindsay's been discussing a lot of penetration issues.
There's a lot of penetration in vampire media.
I think the term peeners.
There's also a lot of disease culture, but you know.
Fang penises. This is
going for the classic historical context.
Well, you know, whatever.
What's with? I mean, it's I guess you know where the blood is, but veins, arteries. I guess that the neck is just where it's gonna be if you're a vampire.
I mean, there is the femoral artery.
Yeah, I feel like sexy thigh times are totally in all the dirty vampire novels that are written for middle-aged ladies.
Although you never notice ankle times in any of the dirty vampire novels.
Ankle times only
those
in that
veins are just too small.
Only in the subgenre Amish vampires.
I'm imagining what that romance novel would sound like.
Oh my god, does that mean that Stephanie Meyer vampires would be shunned for being too fancy?
Yes, dude.
Oh, yeah,
too
definitely.
Fancy.
Amish know what's up.
Driving cars, definitely.
Yeah, but they'd all be all about fast buggies and stallions.
Yeah.
let me talk about vampires and my problem with them, which is mainly that I feel like all vampire literature exists for ladies who are kind of, like, not okay with regular penetration. Like, isn't that,
yeah,
like, the Birth of a Vampire novel genre shit, Bram Stoker, has to do with Victorian repression, and the fact that we're still so hung up on it, to me, is just a sign that we haven't moved so far past our Puritan roots.
I think that's certainly true, although I would argue that Bram Stoker's vampire is not aimed at ladies.
Who's it aimed at?
Who do you think it's aimed at?
Dudes
I just
that
feel like
penetrate?
The way that he, you know, he's spending so much time not only hunted, but also, you know, collecting wives. I feel like that's a power story.
Mm.
You know, he's conquering women as opposed to, you know, I don't know. I just think it's way less lady sexy than the way vampires have developed since then, you know, because there was a big gap in vampire literature after that.
I guess that's true. But I will say for myself, I was always into vampires, and then Buffy the Vampire Slayer happened, and what I like about Buffy the Vampire Slayer is not only that it came along at the right point in my own formative development, but also that it sort of spun the whole, like, traditional, like, vampires are for ladies thing on its head, and it was all about Buffy seizing control and taking power and killing vampires, which is awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
Totally.
Hell yeah.
And then, I mean, the problem being now that we've sort of gone back towards a more traditional vampire mold with your Twilights and various other vampire fiction, because it's just all over now, too.
I am so over vampires. Yeah. It's become really, like, every single vampire story is, who's she gonna choose between? Vampire or werewolf? Who's she gonna choose between? These good vampire, evil vampire? Which, to be fair, probably did start a little bit with Buffy. Good vampire, evil vampire.
I can't imagine why that would be something to think.
What?
I will tell you guys this, though. I've recently been rewatching Buffy, because it's been on the Logo Network, and I go to work a little later, so I can watch two full episodes if I want every morning while I drink my coffee and hang out with my dog. It's really awesome. And we're in the Riley season. And I have a whole new affection for Riley. Riley is way better than I thought he was. Yeah, no, he's totally a square. But he's so great. And he's so perfect for Buffy.
That's the saddest face.
And now I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed that I didn't like him more while it was going on. Because Riley is really, really good for Buffy. As opposed to Angel, who's a moper. And Spike,
who's a moper. Moper.
Mopey guys.
That's true. They do. Well, because Spike didn't start out as a moper. Spike seemed like he was going to be... You know,
Spike was always kind of a moper.
But then he turned into a class A moper also.
Spike was always kind of a moper. Like, the whole introduction to Spike is he's in a wheelchair, and he's moping because he can't mess around with Drusilla, and Angelus is being Angelus. He's a moper the entire time we know him.
That's true.
And just because he looks like Billy Idol does not make him any less of a
which
moper.
He really did.
I think that was something of like a smokescreen for every single girl who'd grown up being or wanting at least to be more of a rebel. You're just like, Billy Idol, super sexy.
It's true.
Ooh, Ike. That was just that moment.
And you're like, but he's actually got feelings and stuff. Like,
yeah. He's a real person, even if he's only on my television.
No, whatever.
Oh, you know, that's as real as it takes sometimes.
That's what you do, though, when you're a teenage girl. You cut
that's true.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
So totally gospel.
Pretty sure I didn't say, oh, my goodness, when I was a teenager.
I definitely didn't use curse words when I was a teenager.
Oh, neither did I, which is funny to remember, given how much I curse now. It feels
I learned to curse when I was 14, and I never stopped. Until recently, because I can't swear at work.
It's really funny because
I swear at work all the time.
Yeah, I swear back behind the doors.
I work with librarians, and those people are salty.
They're blue.
Now I sound like a grandma
at work. Yeah.
I say, oh my gracious, an inappropriate number of times every day.
I like to say, oh dear diary. I stole it from Lewis.
That's pretty good, I like it.
Oh dear diary.
I have a friend at work who likes to use butter pecan, so she'll just go, butter pecan. That's just like all that comes out of her.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Wow. So minced oaths aside.
Yes.
So maybe we talk about our own experiences with the vampire media.
Okay.
So I would say Buffy to Anita Blake Vampire Hunter, which is like the ultimate disappointment, which we can address. And then, you know, definitely at some point I was like 9 years old and reading inappropriate Anne Rice things.
Yeah,
that's a true
with
story.
All the fucking sex in them. And I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. I remember watching Nosferatu and being really turned on. Like,
yeah,
at like 11 or so.
Yikes.
He like rests his like creepy hand on her bosom. And it was one of those things. Like, I feel like
I think girls much more so than is ever talked about, to be honest, get turned on just as much as teenage boys do. But in, like, those awkward ways.
Absolutely. It's
thank God for internal genitalia.
Yeah, right?
True story.
Right? No, I read, I remember getting turned on reading War of the Worlds because there was something about breeding. Like, was all that it took.
Wow.
I was like, they're breeding humans.
That's impressively awkward.
No, I mean, it's just stuff like that.
The thing that you, like, doesn't get talked about at all, though. For
well, yeah, because, I mean, we still feel repressively like it's inappropriate for girls to get turned on at all for any reason.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why the vampire genre, though, takes off, especially with teenage girls.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you look at it, and it's, I mean, Mormonism is nothing if not repression. So
that's
you look at,
accurate.
At Twilight, and you look at how, no sex, but I want it. No, don't do it. Like, there's
Rip,
just all
you
of
can't
it.
Have it.
You can't have it. It'll kill you. Oh, like, that's all that's happening the entire time.
If only the angry strawberry.
I really like, I think my favorite part of Twilight is actually that he doesn't know if he really likes her, if he just wants to eat her really bad.
And that's a sign of a healthy relationship, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, it's just, okay, so... and I like it because then he's like, I decided that I did like you and I didn't want to eat you.
Right,
like, it's
right.
This, like,
wow,
acting.
Thanks. I'm so flattered.
Oh.
And then the whole point, which again is really repressive, because again, I will show. I've read all the Twilight books. So in Breaking Dawn, we, like, you know, is it Breaking Dawn when she has the baby, or is it at the end?
Yep, that's Breaking Dawn.
Okay, so Breaking Dawn, she has the baby and stuff, and, like, he injects his blood into her heart to keep himself from ever having tasted her blood. It's so about virginity, and it's so terrifying.
Yeah, it's.
I like that, that even after they've, you know, had sex and she's having his baby and it's killing her, which, because, you know, you need to sacrifice everything for motherhood, he's still not gonna fuck her in the vampire way that's available
to him. It's this weird unconsummated desire thing, and it's about how desire is bad.
Yeah.
Yep. Right? Like, his,
And about how you're not a person without, you know, a different person to tell you how to.
Yes.
Right. Well, and giving into those desires is, like, the ultimate... Literally, you will die, or you will kill someone else.
Also, it's evil because vampires are never good.
Never.
Like, they can be slightly less bad, but they can't be good.
I would also
say, like, this weird fascination then with, like, dancing with the dark side. Like, this strange idea of also instilling in women that it's, you know, even though he doesn't treat you that well, and even though, you know, your family disapproves of him...
Even though you get absolutely nothing out of this, and it's really an awful decision, you still wanna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wanna get married when you're, like, 18 years old.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, everybody's fine with it.
Yes, and it's just, it's terrifying.
Well, because all of that stuff becomes good and acceptable if you're married.
Yes.
Even if it's the exact same relationship.
But then it's not good and acceptable. And the fact that she has to be a mother... So this is turning into a Twilight critique episode, I guess. But, you know, it's just, it's such a bizarre media thing for America to have latched onto. And I think that's part of the reason I was so thrilled when Hunger Games was released. And I was just like, here at least is a female protagonist that has a fucking personality.
Right? Mm-hmm. She might be stupid and she might be stubborn, but at least she's got traits. And she doesn't need either of the two main boys to tell her what they are.
No. Yeah, she survives in spite of them, not because
Right, like, she saves, fuck you, I'm gonna live.
PETA's ass so many times.
Yeah.
And she was happy to tell him about it.
Have you guys seen that they're breaking up Mockingjay? Loud. They're breaking it into two movies, because that's what happens to every movie now.
Everything now. Yeah.
It makes me so mad.
I guess it's easier to do that, you know, with the third book than with either of the other two, because pretty much the other two, you've got the arena, like, that's what you're gonna do the whole time.
At the same time, I feel like Mockingjay is not one of those books where it really lends itself
that's
to
true there's not
break.
A good dividing point, because like, what are you gonna do? Like,
also, I feel like one of the things with Mockingjay is that there's too much time spent in certain areas. It could have
really
crawls benefited
a couple times.
It really could have benefited from being compressed into one movie.
Definitely excited about seeing President Coin shot out of fucking nowhere, though.
Fuck yeah, I am! That's gonna be awesome. I'm so excited about that. I was hoping,
did
but
you
I
guys
like...
see the casting news for for Catching Fire?
Yes.
Which one?
Finnick O'Dair.
Oh, no, what? I didn't see that.
Dude.
I heard Wyrus.
Yeah, I got Wyrus. It's, she's, what's her face from Pulp Fiction?
Christopher Plummer's daughter.
Yeah.
What's her first name?
Be Cool, like Honey Bunch or whatever it is.
Yeah. And then,
Honey
what's
Bunny,
her face?
Yeah.
Maloney. What's her name?
Jenna Maloney?
What's her face?
As far as I know, that's just a rumor.
It's who?
Johanna.
Johanna.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was campaigning pretty hard for it, supposedly.
Finnick O'Dair,
I think she could do it if she was blonde, but...
Well, they might make her dye her hair. I mean, they made...
Well, I mean, of course they will. Like, that's really not my...
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
I think she could do it. I think it depends, really, on what she thinks of Johanna agreeing with what I think of Johanna. Who have they decided is pretty enough to be Finnick?
He's some guy...
Did they actually cast him already?
Yes, dude. It got announced. It was it was on something.
I was really hoping there was a rumor at one point that they were going to try and get Ryan Kwanten, Jason Stackhouse from True Blood as Finnick.
What a babe!
Super babe. And smart. Super smart. Mensa.
He's too scruffy, I think.
Oh, he could de-scruff.
I could.
But Finnick isn't scruffy. That's kind of the point of him.
In the arena, he is.
But still, like, he could look scruffy without being scruffy because Finnick is too, like, put together.
So it's this.
And he's too artificial, I think, to allow himself to be scruffy.
His name is Sam Claflin, and he's from Snow White and the Huntsman. Sam Claflin.
Right. I heard Snow White and the Huntsman, and I went, Chris Hemsworth was all I heard.
That's exactly what I thought, too. And I was like, that's not the same. That's not the
hang
same
on,
at all.
Hang on.
Not the same.
Let me see if I'm
curious. Who is this dude?
That's his
is
name. Hang on, I'm going to get his IMDb. He's, like, reasonable.
See, I feel like Finnick has
that's
to be
not
super
good
hot.
Hot.
I know.
Right? Like, that's the point of him, because he's walking around in a friggin' fishnet saying, like, want to sleep with me yet? And everybody's like, yeah, actually I do. Except for Katniss, because she's ridiculous, and I love her.
Yeah. She is ridiculous, but also she's the only one smart enough to kind of go, oh, that's right, you actually have somebody you're in love with.
Like, right? Like, oh, girlfriend, done.
Wait, well, maybe not it's really, not him. I feel like I saw something on Perez Hilton. Yeah, no, Perez Hilton reported it was Sam Claflin, and in general, at this point, he confirms his info.
Well, he might have a solid rumor, but I don't know. I don't call that definite.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see if they come up with somebody better.
Maybe he'll be really good.
But, he might be. I mean, it's possible. I'm being unfair because I have no idea who this dude is.
Maybe he photographs awkwardly.
Flumpy just called you not photogenic, Sam Claflin.
I don't think that's entirely fair either, because we have no idea who this guy is, but...
That's true. That's very true. From the description that I got, I'm assuming that he photographs awkwardly.
Right.
So looping back around...
To vampires.
Which part?
Well, to vampires in general.
Oh, okay, sure.
Why don't we talk about Anita Blake?
Oh, Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Did you read those books, Nissa?
I never did, no.
I only read the first one.
I heard, because by the time I was thinking about it, I had heard from you guys that they had turned to hell. Like,
it just happens in my opinion, to all vampire media that goes on too long. It turned into this orgiastic, like, ridiculousness that then, like, they incorporated, like, fairies, and they, like, really, it's like proto-True Blood.
It's
like Anita Blake Vampire Hunter, except Anita starts off as this badass character who, in the style of Buffy, is, like, defeating, like, really strong supernatural beings, but then, again, they, like, overblow the mythology, everyone winds up having to have a superpower, which is my other problem with vampire media at this point, is, like, everyone then is a witch, or is part fairy, or, like, you know, like, no one can just be a person.
Right, that's not good enough. Like.
So. Well, and not to go back to Twilight, but that I meant to say this earlier, but my biggest problem with Breaking Dawn is that she has to become a vampire in order to, like, she has to be converted in order to be any good at defending herself.
Yeah.
And the thing that I thought was going to be really cool, I was really waiting for it, is that great trope in science fiction and or fantasy, which is that the human with absolutely no powers really is ultimately the best weapon you
can still attack. Triumphs. Yeah.
Yeah, still triumphs. It's the whole Ewoks and Return of the Jedi thing, like the smallest person ends up being the key factor in victory. And then when that didn't happen and she had to be a vampire instead, it was quite disappointing.
I agree. I will say that in terms of a better vampire media thing that I've seen in recent years, I would definitely refer to I Am Legend. Even though they're, like, vampire zombies.
Vampire zombies are awesome.
I love it because he is
vampire zombies are very historical.
Yeah, good call. Good call, Nissa. But, like, he's, like, a scientist, but he's a badass, and he's trying to save his own humanity, and he's, like, broadcasting the signal, and it's just all about this guy and his dog, basically, against the vampire hordes, and it feels really, like, it felt really good to just have vampires be fucking evil. Because that's the other thing about it is
I
am tired about,
like, that's the thing.
I am tired of the complicated monster. I am tired of I'm tired of the three-dimensional, like, character.
Like,
I don't even mind it.
Sophisticated nonsense. Like, they come out of the fucking ground and they want to take people back with them. Like, that's what they do. That's a vampire. Like,
and I get that.
That's
always,
why you bury them without their heads. That's why you put a brick in the mouths. That's why you stake the body to the casket. Like, people knew this thousands of years ago, and, you know. But now, like, we want to sleep with them? Does that even work? Ask Anne Rice. She knows.
She does
know. It's also that kind of, nope, it's gone. Nope. It was literally sucked from me.
I bet it was.
I Am Legend. The other thing that's kind of interesting too, though, is that the idea that really he is the person invading their soil, which is kind of like an interesting perspective on it too, in that he's kind of their bad guy and they're his bad guy, and it really is a war in the most simple sense, which is what it is.
Right, that makes it sort of natural, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like very
ecosystem.
Discovery Channel, like.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's a predator of something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the prey has to defend themselves, like.
Sometimes you have an alien versus a predator.
Sometimes.
And then you have a terrible movie in which Predator holds hands with a black woman. And
they go to prom. Spoiler.
They totally did go to prom.
They did go to prom.
He gave her a xenomorph corsage to wear
her
on her arm.
Like, Predator doesn't give people presents. Predator kills people. What is this?
It was, I'm sorry, but it was Enchanted Moonlight. That was the theme. And he just was, you know, enchanted.
Remember when ours was, like, Enchanted Bayou?
Yes.
Yep.
Dreadful.
Exactly. We got a martini glass that supposedly held a floating candle. It was silly because you went, I'm 18.
Right? Like,
but it's a martini glass. And they're like, but it's supposed to be for candles. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, okay.
Candles.
Right?
Also,
like, you tell yourself
let's
that.
Talk about how you shouldn't give, like, an 18. Okay, like, let's be practical. You have an 18-year-old person that's going to drink. You don't give them a martini glass. All that surface area.
Yeah.
Like, you are asking for trouble.
Yep.
You are asking for trouble. Valparaiso
High
School prom.
We got plastic picture frames at mine.
Yeah.
Classic.
We got.
Yeah, they're pretty gross.
I loved those. Like, they gave you those photo album things. I still have mine.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I have mine too.
But yeah.
Ridiculous.
So it's always teenage vampires, too, or, like, teenagers and vampires, which feels to me actually, like, the most appropriate aspect of it, because it's, like, this melodramatic thing being tied to this other melodramatic thing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely true. I think that whenever you have...
I mean, it's already this expert thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's also that kind of metaphorical aspect of how strong I feel like teenage love and how destructive sometimes,
like,
love can be in that way when you're so young and you put everything into it.
Well, and everything in your life is, you know, the end of the world, like, you're a teenager, so, you know, using vampirism and, you know, dealing with vampires as a sort of exploration of how, you know, extreme teenage life is.
No.
Yeah.
Excuse me, guys.
Like, I mean, it's an interesting device when not overdone, which of course it always is, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why Buffy's so successful, is that it branches out with other monsters, but, like, using that idea of the controlling boyfriend and the, you have sex with him and he changes, you know, like, that was,
right.
It's so funny how.
And it changes you, like.
Yeah, and it's funny to me how internationally, it's just, like, how that show connects with people on an international level. Like, girls of any age who've watched that show that I've met from literally all over the world who watched that show have talked about how it completely encapsulated how isolated you feel in high school and how you have bad friends, bad boyfriends. Like, everybody, those were just such instant touchstones for everybody, even, you know, in cultures that you wouldn't necessarily expect that.
It's true, it's super universal.
Yeah, I would say my problem with, like, then the Twilight and the Vampire Diaries, et cetera, is that not everyone can write teen angst in a way that is both earnest and funny the way Joss Whedon can. So it really takes a light touch when you're bringing monsters into a monstrous time in your life.
Absolutely.
To, like, make sure that it's, like, intermingled, but not, like, this mess of then, like, voodoo shit and, like, you're a doppelganger for a vampire, so that's why your vampire boyfriend is attracted to you.
Yeah.
Which,
I understand, like, that's
is the
creepiest aspect of that show. Also, what's his face's eyebrows? Ian Somerhalder's eyebrows. Creepy.
I like that on Lost, his name was Boone, because that is one of the worst names.
It is one of the worst things. I can also never watch him without thinking of him as Boone.
Bam.
In my mind, he died and then became... he just kind of moved on. Like, that's what happened, is he died. He didn't die from that plane. A vampire killed him. And
that's
then
awesome.
He moved. He got off the
changed
island.
His name. Sort
changed
of.
His name, sort of. And then, you know, found his long-lost brother, who also happened to be a vampire.
Well, you know, whatever.
Dreadful. Met a teenage girl and fell in love. I mean, that's obviously what happened.
So he's not like, creepy at all.
He's always had creepy tendencies. He was in love with his sister.
Also creepy.
So creepy. My favorite news that has come out recently actually relates to the Quentin Tarantino film Django Unchained.
Oh, yeah.
And have you seen that he said that he thinks that Django and Broomhilda are basically the great-great-great-grandparents of John Shaft?
No. That's amazing.
What? Isn't that that's awesome? Ridiculous. It makes... I'm so excited about that movie to begin with, and now I'm just like, fuck yeah, Shaft!
Wow.
I know.
Hey, Nyssa. They say yes. That John Shaft's one bad mother. Shut your mouth.
I'm gonna let you go ahead and do that all
Dude,
by yourself.
Dude, I wanted to give you Pip's. Pip's opportunity wasted.
What? Well,
speaking of, this is the worst segue ever. Speaking of black characters.
Speaking of black
badass motherfuckers.
Blackula.
Blade.
Also,
yes.
Yes.
Let's talk about Blade.
Does everyone remember Blade Trinity?
Yes.
Oh, I remember Blade Trinity.
Blade Trinity's the one with the iPod placement. Isn't there like nothing but iPod product placement? Like Jessica
Biel
is listening to her iPod and she's got a special
weird Pomeranian with its like triple mouth.
Oh my god, I love Mandible Pomeranian. It's the only kind of Pomeranian I would ever consider.
Oh man, if they sold those, I would buy one.
Would you call them a Pomerandible or a Mandalorian?
Mandaranian?
A Mandaranian?
Mandaranian sounds a little bit like Mandalorian, so I'd probably go with that.
Yeah, Mandalorians. Aww.
If you combined a Pomeranian with the DeLorean.
Or if you sold a Pomeranian to Boba Fett.
Yes.
I
think that would be great. I think they'd get along really, really well.
I think it would be awesome if you opened Boba Fett's backpack and found not just the jetpack, but a Pomeranian.
Yeah.
Actually, the jetpack is the bed for the Pomeranian. It opens.
And it's all like fluffy and stuff, and it's supposed to keep it warm.
And it's
yeah,
just like wiggling. It's just like.
All he complains about, he's like, oh, I got Pomeranian fur all over my armor again.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's lint rolling.
God, Boba. Right.
I shed all the time.
I would like to point out that none of this is worse than showing him as a child, so we can feel better than George Lucas.
We absolutely can.
It's a low bar to set for ourselves.
That's a true story. Oh, dear.
Oh, George Lucas.
I don't even want to talk about it. He's a vampire.
Is he a vampire?
He's living off the carcass of his own former work. He's just like...
That's a true... Oh, wow, that's good.
He's just... Sinking
I was mostly thinking of Patton Oswalt's assessment of like how we would go back in time and kill George Lucas with a shovel.
Yeah. I really liked that. I think it's a game that I want to invoke, actually. Did you read his book? What is it? Zombies, Spaceship, Wasteland?
No.
He says basically that all stories can be divided into those three categories and all people can be defined by them too. And it's a really, really interesting thing. So I advise you both to read it and then we can play it as a game like you play MFK. But Blade is totally awesome, and I loved those movies, and I will hear no one speak ill of them.
Yeah,
even the
fair.
Middle one with the stupid vampire princess was fun, because it featured Ron Perlman.
Yeah, it did. I forgot that was Ron Perlman in there.
Anything with Ron Perlman cannot be bad.
Totally also redeemed. I liked Season of the Witch with Nick Cage, because it featured Ron Perlman as his best friend.
Yikes. I mean, I might have to go back on my own statement there, because Nick Cage can make anything bad.
Stop. Nick Cage is magic.
Except Raising Arizona.
Yeah, no, he's been... Okay, like, no, but here's the thing about Season of the Witch, which does not feature any vampires. You're right, listeners. Just witches. And devils. But there's this awesome scene where it just looks like Nick Cage and Ron Perlman are fighting the whole Crusades by themselves and winning. It's really
That's awesome.
That's
I'm sure amazing. The 13th century would have something to say about that.
Yeah, yeah. You guys,
shut up,
this 13th is the part...
century. Go back to your
time.
This is the part where Anissa is a linguistic scholar and, like, into history and is, like, as a result, a stickler about things, which are awesome.
Yeah. See, there are several varieties of nerd, and I'm the one that's least popular. Does that make me, like, a hipster nerd? Like, does that make me extra nerdy? That's awful.
You just said you were a hipster nerd. Now, even if you're not, I'm gonna think of you as that.
I was wondering aloud. I made no such declaration.
Disdain. You are wearing glasses.
I wear glasses because I'm blind, alright?
I'm blind too, Nissa. I suffer from
it. I have contacts. I just don't remember to put them in.
There's a hipster girl who makes my smoothies at the Smoothie King. And yeah. She's the most accessorized person I've ever met in real life.
give us an example.
She wears, like, a Rosie the Riveter-style head wrap bandana with those nerd glasses that everyone in the NBA wears now. And then she has numerous arm bangles.
Like,
layered necklaces. And I'm just like, oh my god. All the time. It's like too much to take in. It's a sensory overload.
Do you think she actually needs those glasses?
No.
I hate that.
A lot of people buy
plastic glasses. Clearly plastic lenses. And it's
one of the girls I work with is like that. She's got glasses that are just for show. I'm like, no, seriously, though. I can't function without these.
But honestly, ever since Dwayne Wade was interviewed with those glasses that didn't even have lenses, I've given the people that just have stupid plastic glasses more credit.
Yeah. That's true. I have a friend who wears them at work simply because she doesn't want to put makeup on in the morning.
I mean, it's fair.
I put makeup on. Like, come on. Glasses do not preclude makeup.
Well, but they help if you have to apply eye makeup. Like, I will put on my glasses to hide the fact that I was too lazy to apply mascara when that's the situation. I'll show you my glasses. Hang on.
Oh, dear.
Mine are actually pretty hipster-esque, I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I have them here. I think they're in the bathroom.
See, they're like a superhero mask.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yours really are.
Yours are so huge.
I know,
My mother used to have glasses.
I love
just
big
like
glasses, and I will tell you why. Because I get them with the anti-glare, and because I have to stare at a computer screen all day long, it makes all the difference in terms of my headaches.
That's awesome.
I think that's fair, yeah.
And these make me feel like, is her name Edith from Ghost World?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Or Enid, maybe?
Enid! Thank you.
Enid.
I was thinking of Edith
from Downton Abbey.
Yes. Oh, Edith.
So.
Jimmy Fallon. Who knew you would be a great satirist of Downton Abbey?
Let's see. Blade 3, though, Trinity. Is also ridiculous because Ryan Reynolds is in it.
Yes. I'm just now remembering. No, you know what's funny is I remembered that maybe 2 months ago and then thought I had to have been crazy. It's the same thing with that movie, the Amityville Horror remake that they did that was Ryan Reynolds. And now you look back and you just go, wait, what? Or was that Ryan Gosling? Wait, hold on.
I think it was Ryan Reynolds.
I can't remember.
Because Ryan Gosling, the thing I've realized about him more and more as I've had a bigger and bigger baby goose crush is that he has the most ridiculous voice in the universe.
Right?
Like, it's a very distinctive voice, and it's also totally ridiculous.
Well, have you seen what's really funny is in all the previews for Gangster Squad, it looks like he's heightened his own ridiculousness of his voice to make it more kind of like
He does not need to.
He doesn't need to, but his voice is a lot higher all of a sudden in that trailer.
Maybe that's why I've never really gotten the whole Ryan Gosling thing. Like, not that I don't like him. I'm just like, I've never been as all over him. But
Dude, Baby Goose in Drive.
That's not true. I have seen the majority of Drive without sound on somebody else's screen on an airplane.
Nissa, that really does not count.
It doesn't count. You have to, because the music is part of it.
It's so
you have to watch.
Awesome.
Drive, I kind of got it because I'll be honest, I liked him before, but then all of a sudden I have never kind of got the huge like influx.
Right, it's not like he's unattractive or anything.
But then I watched
just
Drive.
My thing.
And I watched Drive, Nissa, and he was fucking.
He's sex in that movie. Let's just say he's sex in that movie. He's wearing this. Okay, was Ryan Reynolds?
It was Reynolds in Amityville Horror.
Yeah, dude. Shirtless the whole time. With a beard.
Yeah.
See? It is pretty hot as like well. I say, of the Ryans, I will still vote Reynolds.
I would not.
I don't know. Green Lantern may have really turned my
okay,
mind.
Here's
everybody makes mistakes, okay?
Yeah. But here's my problem. Okay, Green Lantern, we're going to briefly turn from Dracula's. Vampires is the word.
We're putting on the back burner, literally.
We're gonna turn to superhero films, and we're gonna talk about the Green Lantern, which, unfortunately enough, it's like one of those superheroes you want to be awesome, because you're like, oh, it's the power of imagination, and you want it to be, like, optimistic.
Well, Hal Jordan is not that bad in the comics. Like, he's pretty great.
Anyway, you want it to be good, but it's really hard not to make that incredibly cheesy, so is Ryan Reynolds the right person for that job? I 100% agree with you, casting director, yes. But it's so hard to make that movie and not have it be completely ridiculous, which is what happened.
Yeah.
Like, do I blame Ryan Reynolds for that? No. But at the same time, do I ever want to, like, lay eyes on that again? No.
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 I think it's probably because living in L.A., you have, like, a bajillion posters and billboards for that movie. And so you just saw Ryan Reynolds' face in that ridiculous getup for just days, months on end.
Yeah.
Trying to look at him and not have it change you.
Ryan.
Well, you don't have to have him then. I'll take it.
You can keep him. We'll split the baby goose.
There you go.
I was watching Crazy Stupid Love again today, which truthfully
that's like my sister's favorite movie right
now. I love it, and I mean I do not like, this is horrible that I'm saying this in this our first episode, but audience, you'll have to believe me, and when I say I do not like romantic comedies, but I love it because it's Steve Carell and it's Ryan Gosling, and together they're like this comedic super team. And
together as Voltron, they make this rom-com not useless.
I can't tell you about their rapport and how awesome it is. And then it's Julianne Moore, who's like a classy lady. And she's pretty to look at. And then it's, what's her face? Emma Stone, who's just beautiful. And I just like to look at her, too. So it's just, it was
I can't decide how I feel about her.
Oh, I love her.
I love her.
I do not like the help, but everything else she's in is magic.
What's the thing you didn't like her in?
I didn't like
her. No. Oh, go for it.
I did not like her in The Help, but I don't like The Help, period.
I haven't seen The Help either.
I didn't see it. Because, like, everybody spends so much time telling you how great it is and how great the book is, and you're like,
it feels really self-congratulatory to me. It feels like a lot of white people being really self-congratulatory and taking credit for the civil rights movement.
I recognize that this thing happened to other people because of people who were like me.
And I live in the South, and so it's especially annoying down here, and it just made me annoyed. But I went and saw it with my parents when they came to visit, because they were like, let's go see The Help. And you don't say no to your parents when you're over the age of 25, because you're not a fucking brat.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, audience, you need to stop.
Yeah. Good luck.
Unless your parents are telling you to do coke.
Or if they're vampires.
Also true. In both of these situations, and similar situations, you can extrapolate on your own time. It is okay to tell your parents no.
Or state them.
That's
also
true.
Appropriate.
You might have to. Can I bring into the, I'm going to bring a little bit of a random kind of, going way
I don't know if we have any place for randomness.
This reference, this way
you're out of order!
Called The Burbs. You guys seen The Burbs?
No!
So The Burbs is this movie with Tom Hanks in it, and it is literally, he and his neighbor become obsessed. He and his friend, who is his neighbor, become obsessed with a new family that's moved in and become convinced that they're vampires. It's like 1980s. It's ridiculous, and it's kind of great. I really recommend it. But it's another one that I think is, it's more about the idea of vampires as an other, as opposed to being something sexually fetishized. And so I think I really like that it's kind of this idea more of
novel now. Even though she's talking about a movie in the 1980s, you're like, oh, well, how interesting, a different approach. Because
right?
It's not about fang penises penetrating virgin flesh.
Hey. This is a family show, even though we say fuck a lot.
I think that's a claim.
It's nothing like a family show, let's be
honest. I think I can talk about their, you know, pointy teeth peeners anytime I want.
Let's never talk about peeners of any kind. Like, that's not an acceptable word.
No.
Predator.
Let me get it out of my system.
That's not predator. This is a predator.
I mean, it's just that.
That's like Zoidberg.
Bella really wants Edward Cullen's teeth penises.
Teeth
penises. Cold shaft. Really, what we're gonna call it, right? His cold shaft.
Her canine. She wants his canine.
That's why you can put the Edward Cullen dildo in the freezer for an authentic.
Oh god. Also, really, the weird merchandise that has erupted around these movies. The silhouette you can put on your wall of Edward Cullen watching me play.
Oh, that's worse. That's
I don't know if that's worse than the Edward Cullen dildo. That's pretty bad.
Well, but that's kind of expected. Like, come on. People make dildos. Honestly, they were going to make a white sparkly dildo at some point. It just happened. Well,
I feel like they already existed and someone was just really smart about branding them after the fact.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like some, like, manufacturer was, like, paying attention to stuff and was, like, done.
Freezer, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I wouldn't. But,
I mean, I'm sure you could. I'm just saying that the idea that people are really latching onto that in I want to recreate this kind of way.
I want to penetrate myself.
It takes RPG to a level.
I was actually at the Best Buy recently. Yeah. Mainly getting a soda because I was in a weird location and I knew that they would have it because they're Best Buy and there's always Code Red Mountain Dew there.
I love Code Red because it's delicious.
Anyway, so yeah. I was getting my Code Red Mountain Dew like you do, and there it was, a wall of Twilight based hair utensil stuff, like blow dryers that had been branded, like, make your hair look like a Cullen.
What? At Best? No.
Yeah, and it was like, here's your hair stuff, and it like was like diffusers, and I was like,
"What is going on?"
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that Best Buy though, you are, you know, somewhat.
Yeah, that's a step down.
That's definitely.
But maybe I don't even know. I don't even know how to justify it as a thing. But I thought I would tell you because
well, merchandising is pretty crazy these days.
Yes, it is.
Really, it really makes me think of Spaceballs pretty much every time.
As it should.
Right? Everything should be Spaceballs.
I think about it every day because I always think about, no, I always think about that line. I knew it, I'm surrounded by assholes. That's such an applicable line.
Yeah,
you can use it anywhere, really. You can think about it at any time.
It's true.
Driving, work, whatever you do.
All the time. Anytime you're surrounded by people.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Other vampire.
Also, perhaps one last little vampire reference.
Mm-hmm.
Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Leslie Nielsen.
That was excellent.
In a Mel Brooks movie.
Yes.
His follow-up to Robin Hood Men in Tights, which is an underrated classic.
Highly underrated.
Yeah.
Highly underrated.
No, it's so good. Dracula Dead and Loving It, not as good.
No.
But
still
so enjoyable. And actually, it leads to the discussion of Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, which I also think is underrated at this point. I watched it the other day, actually, and it was excellent. Except for the end. It was not good at the end. That's the one with Gary Oldman as Dracula,
Winona Ryder as
Mina Harker, a stone-based Keanu Reeves. It's gorgeous. The first two-thirds of it are super fun and super romantic. Like, it's beautiful and, like, sexy and, like, everything you want it to be. And then they can't, like, figure out how to end it, which I totally understand is a thing. I think, you know, anyone who's ever tried to write an ending knows it's hard, especially when you're deviating to that degree from the source material. And it's just icky town. It's just bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, beautiful and awesome.
It doesn't hurt that Gary Oldman is super sexy.
A super babe.
That's a true story.
Such a babe.
He's wearing these like top hats and these perfectly like matching suits, and you just want to jump on it.
I never found Commissioner Gordon to be that attractive, and then all of a sudden,
well, he's an authoritative man. Like, it makes me feel like,
Commissioner Gordon.
Weird. I feel like Gary Oldman and Tim Roth together are pretty.
Are we talking about Tim Roth now?
Yeah, well, I just think that they're both kind of, like, oddly attractive. Like, they aren't necessarily...
And that's why everyone should now understand that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is my favorite play and an excellent film.
It's an awesome film.
I love it.
I had a crush on Richard Dreyfuss, actually. Jaws era Richard Dreyfuss.
I can see that.
I could understand it.
He's kind of a babe. He actually looks a lot like my fiancé in that movie, so I think that is...
That's helpful.
...the story.
Yeah.
And he goes in a shark cage. Sharks are like vampires.
Sharks? I was just thinking that Jaws vampires of the ocean. Much of a vampire.
Except they eat your whole body.
And I feel like the whole monstrosity level is sort of maintained with sharks as opposed to diminished with vampires.
Oh, yeah, this, as soon as sci-fi makes a movie about sexy great white sharks at now.
Which will happen.
That will definitely happen.
Have you guys seen?
They already had Sea Beast.
Yeah.
Yo, Sea Beast.
My favorite was Piranaconda.
Oh my god.
Say!
I really liked, what's it actually called? The one that's like Megalodon versus Giant Squid or whatever.
Maybe Megalodon versus Giant Squid.
It wasn't really Megalodon, I don't think. It's, but it was like a giant megalodon. Shark versus a giant cephalopod of some variety. It's, and like, man, that was pretty awful.
I really liked, I was watching it actually the other day with Mae Kwok, Moby Dick 2010, which it features the mayor from Spin City as Captain Ahab, except he's on, it's 2010, so he's made a super submarine to kill Moby Dick, who's an extra giant whale that's like swallowing other fucking whales and submarines. Anyway, really awesome special effects, as you'd expect. Also,
of course.
Starring Gabrielle from Xena Warrior Princess. And
no way, she's still alive?
Yeah.
Wow.
She is,
she's still alive?
She's totally,
I'm
like,
sorry, that's what I think of.
Like, she's Ishmael. She's sure I alone escaped to tell you the tale. But, like, anyway, my whole story is that they keep most of Ahab's lines intact from the book. So it's almost like performance art.
From the depth of my soul, I speak.
Yeah. Well, also, how do they deal with the whole racial overtones of the book?
They don't address those, dude. It's a sci-fi
movie. You really think a sci-fi movie is going to handle that?
It's like, not, it's not like dealing that. With subtext. It was just like, it's Ahab. He's on a boat. They've got a tape that attracts
or, like,
the...
If you want to deal with subtext, sci-fi barely deals with text.
I was really respecting how much they put in the original text. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right, like, somebody actually read it.
Someone brought their A game to this sci-fi original. And if you couldn't hear that, audience, that was me pronouncing the Y's one after the other.
Sci-fi.
That's what we do.
It's true.
Midwestern way.
It's
true.
What's another vampire thing? Did we cover all the vampire things?
I mean, you mentioned Nosferatu earlier.
I find Nosferatu endlessly sexy. It has to do with Isabella Gianni and my attraction to creepy things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just like she tempts him and, like, holds him there until, like, light comes with her feminine charms and he's just, like, sucking. And it's totally gross. But, like, when I was, like, 11 or 12, I caught it on whatever channel it was on, probably, like, late night, some extended cable channel, and I was just like, this is so hot. I didn't know any better. I mean, like, what about that, there was, do you guys remember that anime hour or whatever that was on, like, local cable access? That's how I watched Vampire Hunter D for the first time.
Oh man,
and I was also really, like, into him.
I haven't seen Vampire Hunter D, I'll be honest.
The first one's real weird. The second one's real weird too, actually, but I think the second one is much prettier to look at, but the first one has a lot more interesting stuff going on in terms of plot, I think. And, like, actually exploring whatever mythology they felt like setting forth.
Yeah.
And I would still like to know where they got the whole, like, half-vampire thing, besides stealing it from,
Blade?
Blade, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure they could have done, because I feel like the first movie's older than that.
I don't know when Blade was, like, I don't know when Blade's origin
first
is.
Started.
I don't know.
Yeah, the comics, wasn't it a graphic novel initially? Wasn't that when that was Blade, that it was a graphic novel?
Well, insofar as graphic novel,
I mean, the internet exists,
before, like,
so one of us could look it up, but it feels kind of like cheating at trivia when people have iPhones.
Right?
Those people need to be kicked out.
I hate those assholes. I wish they would all get attacked by vampires.
I agree.
Not
that
Flunky.
You have an iPhone, but you wouldn't
you would
use it if we were
cheat.
At Pub Quiz right now.
You would never cheat.
If you did, I would kick you off the team immediately.
I also love that you called it Pub Quiz.
Someone was
That's
in
what it is.
England. Angleterre.
Did you guys see
it? I mean, that's true. I did live there for some time.
Did you see the Firefly, kind of the ultimate Pub Quiz, the Firefly panel at Comic-Con that's been posted online, the whole thing? because of the 10th anniversary. Yeah. And they had it where you could win a replica of Jane's hat, the knit hat.
There are so many of those.
I was going to say, you can, like, buy them.
It's called Etsy.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. But what was so funny was that the way they did it was you had to answer a really, really inane trivia question. And I say inane because Joss Whedon didn't even know the answer to it.
Awesome.
And he didn't come up with the question. Somebody else did. He was like, I don't know what this is. What was great, though, is that they found they had to cut off the line at one point, and they're like, all right, well, whoever has a question and can actually answer the question that we asked you can get it. But they were like, at this point, people are just going to be pulling out their iPhones. And the fact that that was, like, a thing that they had to worry about, that they had to cut people off, because otherwise they were just starting to pull out their iPhones and be like, I'll find this.
Right? Like, I'll find it?
Yeah.
I want to know what that question was and see if I would know it.
It was, you know, Tracy, the friend from War Story, not War Stories, the friend who's the body that
the
they get,
the
harvest, the organs. What planet did he want to be buried on?
Yeah, no, it's the one with his bob on it.
That's really,
it's got
really
a weird name like Jubilee or something. I don't know.
Jubilee.
No, not her. She's... No, but I want to say it's something like that.
Yeah.
And it's not Celebration either.
I feel
like that's the
all of
Disney
those
World
planets
is,
have names like those. Like, they're all, like, old Western words for civil, like, celebrations. Like,
well, not all of them.
Hootenanny.
I mean, Miranda. Hootenanny? I would live on Hootenanny.
I would totally live on Hootenanny.
There's other ones,
we
too.
Should found Hootenanny.
Ice Cream Social is the one I would have.
There ain't no ice cream social.
Bury my bones on Ice Cream Social.
She says coyly as she twirls her hair.
It's not even twirling. It's like, this is my face.
Your face.
Hair mustache.
It's. It wouldn't even be a mustache. It would be like my hair. Like,
I mean, it's like a hair bandana.
You become big. Oh, it is like a hair bandana.
I'm a hair bandit.
You're like a hair
bandit. Cannot be identified by the authorities.
Essentially.
Except you're not actually stealing anything. You're just disguising yourself with hair.
Your heart.
You're stealing your own identity.
That seems really redundant.
Shh. The thing, okay?
Yeah.
You're a thing.
Yeah. Oh, vampires! Was Gomez a vampire in Adam's
family? Was who
what? Adam's family.
Adam's family? No, I don't think they were actually vampires, although they did seem to have
weird
vampire-like qualities.
They're just
I think they were just goth.
Stupid Barnabas
stupid
Collins
goth.
Was
a
stupid
a witch,
vampire.
The grandma
Barnabas Collins is totally a vampire.
Terrible vampire.
What?
I mean, not the original, but I'm having issues. I'm going to fight with Johnny Depp in that every movie he makes, I don't want to see it.
Well, okay, but did you see that he's going to be in a Wes Anderson movie? I think that taking a break from Tim Burton could make all the difference.
I am make a big difference.
I mean,
the Lone Ranger movie, I heard, at least at Comic-Con, all the reports were that it looks not great.
Really
you
bad
Lone
because
Ranger?
It's a Lone Ranger movie and it's not the 50s. I can't imagine.
And, like, they tried to make it all self-aware and stuff, but I feel like
yeah.
that's basically impossible when
there's
you have Tonto.
There's a German movie that I feel like is kind of what they want to do with this Lone Ranger movie, except you can't because it's not, like, the early 90s in Germany anymore. It's called Der Schuh des Manitou.
Der Schuh
like,
des Manitou.
Right?
It's really fun to say. Sorry. I had to...
It's this, like, comedy duo who I guess are known for other stuff, but, like, in this movie, they're basically in brown face.
Wow.
But it's, like, really punny and, like, ridiculous. I mean, it's deeply offensive in many, many ways.
But is it purposefully offensive? Because that's what I feel like the problem is going to be with this Lone Ranger movie.
Right, is that they're trying to skirt around being offensive. And I think... I'm trying to remember now because I only watched it the one time and it took me friggin' forever because I had to stop and like translate all the time because I couldn't follow it fast enough. But because of course you can't find a subbed version anywhere because anybody outside of Germany doesn't care.
Oh my god!
But
yes.
I'm trying to remember if they were actually white guys who then like go in disguise as Indians, because it's in the American West.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. The Manitou is the name of the tribe, and that they're, like, dealing with in some way. And they get nearly put to death a couple times. It's really funny. And I just feel like this is what
sounds
they
like
wanted
German
out of
humor to me.
Right. Not because they get put to death, but because of, like, the discussion that they have. Like, so, how do you feel about this? Well,
whatever.
It's not really ideal.
Germans.
And they're, like, tied to stakes at the time.
They can,
like,
build my car. What I was going to say was, I was reminded, while you were talking about foreign films, of what I think was the best and most exciting piece of vampire media in recent years, which is clearly Let the Right One In.
Yes! I was waiting for you to say it. I was so excited when you brought that up.
Let the Right One In is
totally
awesome and totally Swedish.
I still haven't read the book. I have it somewhere, but I haven't.
I
want to
read it, too. I hadn't gotten around to
it. I just love that, again, it was more, it's a real monster, and even though you feel
right.
something for her because she's a child,
right.
there's still that element of, no, she really fucks shit up.
She murdered
right.
these
she's
kids
like
that were bullying the other
about
day.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's super unapologetic about
you know,
it.
Insofar as she is the correct adjective, because I feel like they talk about it a little bit in the movie, but I think I read that in the
boy,
book it's
right?
made explicit that she's not actually female.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, you see a scar, and you become aware of the fact
that
she's...
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What I found, like, there are so many, like, things about it that are deeply creepy and unsettling. Like, her
super
relationship
creepy.
With her older male, like...
Yeah.
Right.
This guy
yes, and that's made much more explicit
sort of
in the books
pedophile,
I've heard.
And then, like, you know, like, these bully kids, like, the plot justifies, to a degree, her violence. By
right.
saying, like, they've endangered the life of the boy, Oscar...
Who is way creepier than she is in the movie, can I point out?
He's just blonde. He just looks like a child of the corn.
He's terrifying.
He just doesn't have eyebrows that you can see, which is a thing.
He's super creepy.
He's just very pale. And, you know, it's
Lizzie's
just...
feeling a personal affront at this point.
I don't think all Swedish children are creepy. I just think he's creepy.
You don't even know. All Swedish children are creepy.
No, they're not. You're not creepy.
Okay. Well,
and you weren't
really,
as a
I've
child.
Been to Sweden, and I enjoyed all of the children that I met, not in a, you know, like, ooh way. But, anyway, like, yeah, it's amazing. You've got the creepy, unsettling relationship between, I forget his, her name, and, you know, like, the guy who's basically enabling her to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you
Ellie
have,
is the vampire.
Ellie, yeah. And then Oscar, you know, like, has this, like, terrible experience. What I love about, again, it's just a question of, they properly married the melodrama of vampires
yeah.
to a time in your life that's very dramatic and alienating
right.
and scary.
And, like, dealing
friends.
With something like this fits into everything else.
And, I mean, his parents are divorced, and isn't it implied that his father is gay? Like, there's, like,
something
a, lot,
like that,
there's a
yeah.
lot going on. And the fact of the matter is, like, when you're a child and you're perceptive enough to notice these things are going on, it can be even scarier.
Right, especially since no one thinks you actually can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
I also like that so much of her, if you hadn't known what the movie was about going in, which I think a lot of people did, but if you hadn't, there's a little bit more, in comparison to the American version where they make it pretty explicit very early on that she's a vampire, they kind of lead you on with just clues. It's never
right.
really shown until, like, almost the end of the movie,
way
if I remember correctly. Yeah, way in there.
I haven't seen the remake, because I felt kind of insulted that it existed. But...
It was too, like, the thing is, I get, part of the reason I get annoyed with, like, reboots and remakes is I feel like it's speeding up now.
Yeah.
The rate
yeah.
at which they're made. And so, it used to be, like, if, I feel like in the 90s, if they were going to remake some Swedish movie, it would take at least, like, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
To roll around, whereas, like, with the stupid girl with the dragon tattoo... And
oh my god,
right
it took like 10 minutes.
Like, I'm having to put up with this stuff immediately, and I just feel
yeah.
mad
right?
at
it's like, we just saw this movie, you're not making it better. Stop
no.
it.
And I mean, like...
It's also the... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, I hadn't seen Spider-Man, and partially it's because it makes me feel really old. Because
yeah.
original
yeah.
Spider... Well, not original. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, which was beautifully done and sort of inspired the whole slew of more introspective and thoughtful... superhero movies that we've seen came
right.
out like when we were in high school, and now I'm like in
it was
my
actually
20s.
10 years ago. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm in
was
my
it
late
longer
20s.
Than
I
that?
Have a real job. Because
did Spider-Man 2 come out in 2002? Is that what happened? Or
I
was
think
it
so.
The first one?
I don't know. I don't know which one came out when, But my whole story is, like, Tobey Maguire, like, did you guys see that, like, thing where it's, like, real titles of movies? And, you know, it was just one of those internet things. But, yeah. They, like, redid the title of the new Spider-Man, and they called it Tobey Maguire's Midlife Crisis. Because, right, if you're, like, Tobey Maguire, and, like, they're just sticking Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone in your movie now, like, how old do you feel? How accelerated and youth-obsessed is our culture at this point that they're doing this already? Right. And then they're, like, putting it in a high school to, like, capitalize on the whole stupid tween-teen thing, which also infuriates me.
Yeah. I think it's true. I do, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that I don't particularly enjoy Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker. Or as Spider-Man. So it's one of those things where, on the one hand, I'm not really willing to watch what is essentially another Doc Ock story, which is what,
The Lizard. The
whole, the Lizard. It's like, that's exactly what this is. This is the same exact storyline.
Right.
You know, like, scientific experiment gone wrong. So I don't want to see that.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of that in Spider-Man. He gets kind of the shaft in the terms of Rogues Gallery, like.
Yeah. But I just, it was really weird because I was like, despite the fact that I wasn't a pretty big fan of Tobey, I'm not a big fan of Tobey Maguire in general.
No, I mean, Tobey Maguire blows, but like the fact of the matter is, like, those movies were like really well received, and I get sort of annoyed with like the redacting that we're seeing now to make this new one more acceptable, where everyone's like, oh, well, you know, like, Tobey Maguire was always kind of a goober, and that's not what I want to see in the role. Like, yes, he is a goober.
That also doesn't mean that you remake the movie like immediately. That means that you rethink the whole idea, not remake it in simply a different timeline where he's in high school instead of college.
Superman movie, and it's just like, I see that rebooted every 2 years. Like,
yeah,
leave me alone.
Yeah.
At least for this one, they're like going a slightly different direction. I mean, maybe not even different direction, but like they're starting at a point where you can address a different love interest, for example. I mean, I'm kind of hopeful that this movie, I mean, I haven't seen it yet either, and it's been out for a while.
I hear
so whatever.
It's really good. But everyone says it's
I feel
really
like
good.
I'm hopeful that we get the Gwen Stacy thing that everyone, you know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the one frame in all of comics where you're just like, no way. Like.
Yeah.
It's also kind of that whole thing of I do love the casting of Martin Sheen as Uncle Ben.
Oh man, perfect.
I think that's
President Bartlett
amazing.
Is Uncle
it's
Ben.
It's as close to a president as they could find in the movie.
Also, when he dies, whether I've seen the movie or not, if I ever see that scene, I will freak. I mean, I will really have a huge. It was like watching and I haven't even seen all of The Departed, but seeing that one scene because I knew what was going to happen because I'd seen Infernal Affairs. I was like, oh. Balls.
That's why I've never seen The Departed, because I saw Infernal Affairs. Everybody tells
I know,
me.
I know, that's why I haven't watched the whole movie.
It took me forever, too. But, so.
No, it's weird, too, because I think that that's become something that's really big in our culture, of taking something that was universally loved by so many people, and in order to kind of beef up either your own opinion of something, or to beef up something that new that's come along, and to promote it, you end up trashing something that everybody loved before, instead of just going, like, with the newsroom, basically in all of the critiques for the newsroom, everybody trashed West Wing.
Which is bullshit! You don't get to do that! You loved it, you assholes! Yeah.
As you should! Like, there's nothing wrong with the West Wing.
It's amazing. Or Sports Night.
I mean, that's not true. There's not nothing wrong with it. Sports Night's adorable, and every time I see Josh Molina in anything, I'm like, oh.
It feels especially like an indictment.
Or that guy, what's his name? The one from Sports Night who's on, like, The Good Wife or something now. Josh Every time he comes on, all I can think of is Sports Night.
He's also Knox Overstreet in Dead Poets Society.
He's wonderful.
That's a tremendously awful name.
Yes. Let's not do that to any of our children. But,
right?
My thing with Aaron Sorkin, too, is everyone loves West Wing, and now people attack the newsroom for things like, they're like, oh, well, his monologues in the show are really, like, they're they're aggrandizing, like, and they talk about the optimism.
You mean the way Aaron Sorkin is?
Yeah, like, they talk about this optimism as if it's a terrible thing that he's,
or
you
new
know, like,
in any way.
That you should, like, that you shouldn't have grand feelings, and I don't like that as a focus of criticism, because I think it's dumb, and I think it's really the product of...
Well, it's self-limiting, like...
Yeah.
Talking about how people shouldn't feel deeply or act, you know...
As though they feel deeply.
...grandly because of deep feelings. Yes. Like, well, what are you going to do? When is the world ever going to accomplish anything if somebody doesn't
feels
do
like
this?
The hipster infiltration.
Right, like, we all need to be laconic and, you know, angry about stuff we're never going to do anything about.
And then, like, you know, like, yes, there are, like, and they, like, smoke screens the, like, viable criticisms of the show, which are, like, yes, it's not exactly, like, perfect on women, and there's no...
Yeah, feminist in any way.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, there's, like, there's, like...
Again, in the way that Aaron Sorkin is.
One background black lady character. Like, come on.
I mean, there's a lot of criticism you can... I love Emily Mortimer, but I think she's really miscast in this role. Like,
she's so tiny and adorable. Like, what is she doing?
She's a British American.
Yeah.
Why couldn't...
Well, like, that didn't even bother me so much as the very first episode, suddenly she becomes matchmaker and is trying to hook up. She, like...
Oh, yeah, that scene. She's such a manic pixie producer.
So weird. Like, there's a lot of actual criticism you could heap on this show in terms of Aaron Sorkin.
Also, can we talk about how her character's name is Mackenzie McDonald or whatever it is? Like, you can't do that to a child.
No, Mac names.
Yeah,
that's easily the worst thing.
He loves names like that, though.
He does.
Like, I can accept other stupid names. Like, that's fine. But that's exceptionally
stupid. Sam Seaborn. Think about it.
Oh,
I mean, that's, again, fine. But you can't have Mac at the start of both your names. That's not okay.
You're gonna lose me for a minute. Well, I think
so. You guys want to wrap this up on vampires?
Stop thinking about Sam Seaborn immediately.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up vampires.
Wrap up vampires. So.
That won't work. You gotta stake them.
Let's put a stake in it.
Let's put a stake in this.
Let's shoot it with a wood bullet. I was watching True Blood. They have these wood bullets that are filled with silver. It's really dumb.
That's the dumbest thing. That doesn't even work.
Well, unless you got a BB gun, friend.
Well, first of all, you'd have to have tremendous aim to be able to hit the exact heart with a wooden bullet.
It's not going to penetrate.
Which would have a horrendous flight path.
Not like a tooth penis would.
But also, I feel like... Never mind. I'm not going to talk about this.
Anyway... But our whole story, I would say that our assessment is vampires, too much of them right now.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Let's all lay off on vampires for like 2 years and then come
back. But
we're
also not, you know, negative on vampires entirely.
No,
we need to bring them back around to the monster aspect. Like,
we just need people to settle down.
I mean, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter did that too, with like associating them with the Confederacy and slavery.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's not overly...
It was great. It was great simplification, and I enjoyed it. So message to all producers of medias of various kinds, please just, if you're going to mess with the vampires, please do something that isn't them making out with teenagers.
Right, like, don't talk to Anne Rice or Stephanie Meyer at this time.
No. No. Also, do not remake Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I will kill you in your sleep.
You know, people were talking about, there were a couple articles out today about Joss Whedon, of course, but, like, people are talking about, like, oh, they're going to do the Buffy movie. Like, no, don't do that.
Well,
like,
there's a studio that's trying to do it without Joss Whedon because he doesn't technically own the rights.
It's that weird family movie. Or whatever.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, there already was that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know. That's, yeah, exactly. So, don't make it. That's our message.
Like, just stake it.
Just stake it. Don't make it.
Stick with comics.
And with that,
Buffy comics.
With that, we're gonna sign off here, folks. Join us next time. We'll have another stimulating topic to discuss.
Which we might stick to. Probably not. We're not good at that. But we have themes to guide us.
So watch your way out of the jungle of death, and please come back and join us next time.
Adios.
He held these beautiful maidens captive in his jungle of death.